The Australian Presbyterian Bible Church, April 23rd, 2017. The sermon today is on the launching of eternity for man. The same gospel, the same infallible Bible, the same everlasting God. As churches come and go, the Christian church remains the same. The gospel the same, and unfortunately man very much the same, except for the regenerated. And today we'll be talking of the launching of eternity for man. Let's consider some launchings as a prelude to get the feeling of launching as a concept and as a pattern. In 1945, launching of the atomic attack aircraft for Japan to avoid the slow, withering, anguished, grievous death of thousands of American soldiers in the islands as they were cleared of their oppressors. Launching a radioactive component into the ways of the world, mutual destruction becoming one of the breaks where morals had departed and spiritual enthusiasm was diminishing. A launching, indeed. Then in 1986, another launching. Well, do I remember the Challenger? Disaster. For the sake of O-rings, it appeared, a tiny component under the pressures of takeoff, under the temperatures of takeoff. This tiny component betrayed the massive, vastly expensive Challenger. On it was a schoolteacher. She had been chosen apparently from thousands of interested parties. One, largely I was reading because of her enthusiasm. She was to be a teacher teaching in space from space. Experiments would be performed. Children would see it. Here was space for the children. Here was an accelerator of interest for the young. But God in Psalm 115 thinks otherwise. The heavens are his, the earth is for the Lord, for the people. That was a mistaken move and involved her death and the death of many others. The cockpit going on somewhat higher, just an impoverished few miles into the atmosphere after an impoverished few seconds of life. Launchings. The launching of the vast interest in space with the possibility of machinations on, through and from the moon. Launchings in the 90s and so on. What a sudden opening up technically and commercially and intellectually of computers as a role which could readily complicate, aggravate, decimate the ways of man. As well as do much good, but when the heart is evil, it's dangerous to put a cannon in its hands attached. The launching preludes. What about some examples? Well, first of all, a massive basis. Ecclesiastes, could you look it up with me? Ecclesiastes 3:11. Here we find a vastly important and crucially weighty element about man. in this area. God has put eternity in their hearts. God has put eternity in their hearts. Eternity. An awareness of, a feeling for, a desire to find eternity. That which is forever. That man is divorced from this eternity. Man, by his willful action, launched himself into the unlovely, severed from God. Again in Ecclesiastes 7:29, truly this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. With this desire for eternity, for the things which are permanent, for the things which do not pass away, man turning back upon himself, the reflex of his rational capacities, turns himself to himself away from God, like turning yourself from the sun for sight into a dark cavern. And thus, he has sought out many schemes, and they continue to this very day. Who can find out the works we see in Ecclesiastes 3:11, who can find out the works? God has put eternity in their hearts. Except that no one can find out the work of God does from the beginning to the end. You can't make God an object like a rocket to be inspected on all sides for all causes, for all reasons, for all beginnings. Oh, no, no, no. You can merely look from within towards the peripheries. You are an object made by God. God has opened up eternity to you, but you cannot just get beyond him and look at him, which is the current mode. Allowing children who are so immature in mind they scarcely know what you are talking about to discuss their particular emotional feelings and febrilities at any time, or while you use a surgical knife to stab their souls. Not far from child murder, and yet this is put as prevention of bullying, which is its epitome. This is merely an example of the weird wonders of abuse masquerading as if they were a help. And so, we have looked at this sort of launching, and we look at man now, man as an example, launched in particular as in Genesis, a type. I like the way it expresses it in Genesis. Could you look it up? 2:7. I like the way it expresses it in Genesis 2:7. It is so precise. I mean, look at your DNA. The sequenced, comprehensively packaged series of almost endless, equivalent of 1,000 volumes of an encyclopedia, I say almost endless, processes within and towards other processes that have to be processed into existence, and the processes have to be supplied with the parts to process, and it has to be covered with the communication, with the information which is never, ever found without intelligence. When you look at all these parts, then you look at 2:7 of Genesis. And the Lord formed man. So there's something called man. The Bible is written about God and man. Man in the Bible is a designated entity, like an atom or a molecule or magnesium sulfate or an element or anything else. It's something with a name which identifies and defines it. God formed this thing called man. We're men. We know what men are. He formed him with the dust. Just for the record, the dust is not multiplied millions and billions of information elements, as in the evolutionary nonsense which proceeding from nothing wants to get everything. It doesn't even reach to infantility. It's delusion. And God sent him a delusion. As he said, it doesn't depend on your IQ. It depends on the net in which you're caught. The Lord formed man of the dust. Origin, physically, dust. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man, not something else, not some intermediate phase, not some thought, not some pattern, not some power that didn't have matter to go with it. Matter had already been created by God. It does matter to realize that matter is not a matter of chatter. Matter is exceedingly carefully formed with laws all around it. The Lord formed man of the breath of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Nothing can't do it, God can, end of story. And man became a living being. Something else didn't become a living being. Man became a living being. The identified thing that we know of because we happen to have the identity ourselves. So that was the launching, mankind, as a living being. Fascinating thing, life. In my work on the web, webwitness.org.au, I spent a lot of time defining man. People so often say, you can't define life. So I thought, well, I will. I have the advantage of God and the Bible, so I will, and I did. And it takes a lot of doing. It was a great delight to do it because it's such a wonderful thing. So a man was launched, but alas, the launch was a bit like the Challenger. In seconds, you might almost say. Here's man listening to the delusive nitwit chatter of the devil. God is... You've been made so that God will have, you've been made with this limit to what you can do. You can't have this, the knowledge of good and evil. Ah, if only you knew. You can imagine some of the things that went with these devilries. If only you knew what good and evil are. Oh, what knowledge you would have. The university tends to teach this, but it's been so exposed, that false glory from social science and the work. If only you should have what? Diseases that can't be cured? Antibiotics that will no longer work? If only you should have what? Your latest invention to live to eternity while you drop dead of heart attacks at 40? He doesn't want you to be up there at his level. You see? Don't listen to this prohibition. It makes you small. Realize your destiny. Aren't we doing it right now in Australia? Realizing our destiny. Teaching the children we began with nothing, and nothing did all sorts of wonderful things. Setting our God literally at naught. Others have done it and brought devastation and destruction. Do you imagine that the so-called lucky country has been lucky? Or do you realize that it is named the Lord as that on which it depends. Preamble? Sure. The preamble hasn't ambled off, has it? Though no doubt there are plans for it to be significantly changed to allow us to insult God more and more. Many of the churches insulted him. I went through part of one of the churches doing so, always the Bible attacked. I had to defend it myself. Got cast out for it, but brought back and given triumph through the power and the grace of the Lord. How many others? Some say the churches should be saying more. Oh, good. Just allow the papers to print what I want to print, will you? Great. Have you the power? And if not, why do you say such things? Many of the churches could speak that don't speak, it is true. But there are many that don't speak because the newspapers won't listen. And they speak where they can. And the mass communication media tend to switch them off. Even been efforts to switch off one of those who have been exposing things about one of the large religions. She wasn't to be allowed to come. She wasn't to be allowed to speak. Some people would target her. It's not just Australia, it's an increasingly universal phenomenon. If it upsets the people who are God, then don't do it. I hear there's a new grocery approach that might come to Australia. I just read of it the other day, first time. Something which has as its philosophy, whatever the consumer wants, do it. That's the way to get really sensitive to the flow of commerce. Find out what they want, precisely. Whatever it takes, do it. Not entirely a new concept, but the emphasis, the sort of dramatic emphasis, is what is making no other standards but man himself. I read of one large company in the energy sphere, and someone in it saying, oh, we don't just talk of good or bad, we just talk of where the money is and what the results are, and so forth. And he says, of course, you've got to make a profit. We all know that. So it seemed to mean that profit was necessarily the objective of human work. That is a confusion, if that is what he meant. The confusion it would be this. You have to get a profit or you won't eat, in stringent terms. So a profit is necessary. But if something is necessary, like putting polish on your military boots to impress the officers, if something is necessary, it doesn't mean it's your motive. You may even have joined the army in order to fight. It's possible. You may have joined the works force in order to serve. It's conceivable. Letourneau was a famous example of using brilliant imagination and being helpful to his workers, employers. I remember in the high school once I was offended. I was expressing a rejection of the concept that the students had to be taught people work for profit in the sense of that's their purpose. Eventually the headmaster checked with somebody else and came back to me and said, of course you're right. They don't just work for profit. There are other motives. Of course there are. People are human. It's necessary to realize that occasionally. And man came from the dust. You make him come from the dust. And not just by taking hold of what God's already created in shuttling bits. Launched. Round about the time of the great-great-great-grandchildren coming from Adam. Enoch! Enoch was launched. Enoch was a great launch. He wasn't the challenger that crashed. He did go to the heavens, but not by rocket. God took him. What a delicious, delightful thing, and what a comment on the society from which God took him. There have been lots of launchings. You need to keep the eyes open, not the ears shut. Enoch was suddenly accepted and taken for divine intimacy immediately, an epical rebuke to the society from which he was taken. just as now we have nothing plus logical slides as the basis. Then the difficulty was that the spiritual people and the unspiritual people broke down the partition and they all joined up in one confused, chaotic stop at nothing. I mean, I hate to have to say it again, but Australia is going so fast in that direction. We even have one of the splinter parties saying quite simply, oh no, there's no need for that. No need for what? There is no need to have any change to all this business. Reason apart, past apart, motive apart. If someone is offended, that is wrong and legally prosecutable. So that doesn't matter. I see. There's also been a suggestion that maybe the Senate should be reconstructed so that it cannot block electoral presentations which were significant for the government at the election. So that this sort of game playing, avoiding freedom, reality, and because of reality, God, subjecting God to human feelings, how much more is Australia becoming unhumanely, humanly centered by the use of colorable confusions so that the use of good code words becomes an excuse for brash bullying, gross depletion, removal of the freedom people fought for, feelings, not ashamed of departing from justice. This is an invitation to injustice and an exhibition of it, because not all people are taught, are met in the same way, on the same basis, with an equality of concern. Some are privileged, launched. So Enoch was launched, and so, of course, was the flood. Few tears there seem to have been at the blocking of the government's desire to remove this atrocious and appalling attack on human freedom in Australia. Human rights! It's the very epitome of wrong. The ark was launched. Few the were that entered it. God gave them 120 years. They could have repented. I mean, a massive project such as the Ark, it's been shown in detail as a huge enterprise, and also been shown in detail, incidentally, to be exceedingly stable because of the way it was constructed, its design. The Ark was launched and few there were that were on it. The flood covered the tips of the high hills, requiring a universal action. When Christ returns, he'll be like an ark. So Peter tells us, let's read 1 Peter. 3. For Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. By whom? Also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Spirits in prison, that's a designation only for the departed in Scripture. So Christ went, as the Apostles' Creed rightly says, descended into hell. Such is the scope of his love. Who formerly were disobedient, these spirits in prison, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, when the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. There's also an antitype, which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism ultimately means a change of heart, a transformation of substance. It can involve dipping, sprinkling, and numbers of various things, but one thing is involved. When you use Jesus Christ as an antitype for the ark, by which we mean, the ark took souls and they were saved through the ark. Jesus Christ is like the ark, and he takes souls. By me, if any man enter in, you enter into the ark and you're sealed, just as Ephesians tells you. you're sealed. So if Christ is going to be the antitype of the ark, one thing is sure, and if it's to be a baptism, and the ark is to be surrounded by water, it's just as well it wasn't immersed. Far too much is made of baptism, as you see, Paul was so distinct to distance himself from it. So the ark was launched. While we're at it, we've been thinking of Enoch, let's think of Elijah. Elijah was launched. How was he launched? Well, a lot of people knew of his going. He was such a colossal figure. Enormous miracles had been wrought repeatedly. He'd been able to confront a king and a wicked and corrupt queen and win. He'd been able to confront a whole religion and devastate it. Because the people, let us remind ourselves, had voluntarily committed themselves entirely and exclusively to the Lord, which is the only way to do it properly. You might as well commit yourself to being clean and forget about your socks. So Elijah was launched in a chariot of fire, a fitting symbol of the victorious and triumphant life, which reminds you and me as Christians, and I speak, of course, at this point to those who are, a victorious Christian life is the one that is appropriate. He that sins is the servant of sin. We're all sinners, but don't get under the heel of any one sin. Break it. Break it fast. There'll be sins enough that you don't know of. You needn't worry about that. You needn't worry about getting proud. Search me and try me and see. Always have your heart open to inspection from the Lord. But we come on. To the flood. So the flood was launched. So many interesting and simple things about that. Studies. In rock layers, you sometimes have lots and lots and lots of rock layers. It's been pointed out numerous times. Those rock layers are sometimes fairly thin and absolutely flat. If a rock layer had been left there for millions of years, the concept it would not have been subjected to dissolving chemicals and blasting forces is just ludicrous. To have millions of years of these things happening and the layers remain like icing. Ludicrous. And you have one after the other on top of the other. And then you have planation surfaces, which means large surfaces of hundreds of square kilometers in which it's all been scraped clean. For millions of years, nothing happened. Whole vast areas of America, for example. And there are ever so many things of like kind. We haven't time to go into those yet, just now, only time to say that the flood stories which abound throughout the world regarding many tribes has of course had their background the same as the other matters concerning the flood. Such as the diamonds which speak. Because inside diamonds they've now found radioactive carbon. The radioactive carbon only lasts thousands of years, and the diamonds have been placed in the millions of years. Obviously, nothing ITIS has entered in to the people who ignore the evidence, but the flood did occur. It was launched, and man was brought back, and he had to come back through various stages, perhaps at times in caves and other convenient constructions that you didn't have to build immediately. Man had to come back. And he did come back. But before I talk of World War I and World War II and the impending possibilities of World War III, before I talk of the increasing prominence in the minds of many, before I talk of the most important launches of all, just two of them, before I talk of Habakkuk, wait for it. It will surely come. He was upset by suffering. Wait for it. The answer? the Lord's vast, devastating judgment, don't forget the flood, that also will be launched, as will, of course, the Christian believers. They'll be launched when Christ returns. Prepare for it. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we will plan to have part two. In the meantime, amen. Our Father, we thank Thee for the launchings of the Lord, such as incarnation, bodily resurrection. We thank Thee for the power of God, for the numerous testimonies from various sites in the world, still going on in one African case to which we may refer next time. O Lord, we thank Thee for these vast launchings, but what a launching is that into regeneration? What a launching is that into realization of the current visa when we're accepted into heaven through the resurrection? Lord, launch in our hearts, we pray, the joy which we should have, which passes, and the peace which passes all understanding, that we might be rather like lamps lit up from within through the power of Thy Spirit. And these things we thank Thee for, these things we pray for, that we might walk in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.